Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Grunge Spiro, the New Jersey-based spearfishing podcast where, just like the waters of the Northeast, we're down and dirty and ready to kill you with all things spearfishing. And now, your host, Big Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I'm your host, Big Tom, and as always, you're listening to The Grunge Spiro Podcast. First off, I'd like to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you ever in the palm of his hand. And listen, that's as good as you're going to get of an Irish blessing on this show. So I hope you all had a safe weekend. This is going to air after the holiday. If you're listening, you survived, which is a good thing. Now, I'm not a big drinker, but I understand. What's better than going out and kicking back a few beers with your buddies? Oh, you know I'm going to tell you. It's spearfishing, of course. Plot twist, am I right? Can you tell that I'm excited? I mean, I got this big grin on my face right now, and I promise it's not from the Jack and Cokes earlier. Wait, I digress. Jack and Diet Coke, I'm watching my figure. It has been immaculate weather this week. The sun has been shining, it's been in the 60s, the water has been clear, the temperature's been rising, it's beautiful. There's even been a few guys who hopped in and got some video of blackfish. Now, nothing to write home about, there's some stragglers, but that means the fish are coming in. So within the next few weeks, this is really going to get good. You're going to have everybody hopping out, and this is going to be the first wave of the season. It's the early season, and I am excited for it, and you should be too. First off, we have blackfish season opening up April 1st. That's also known as Tatog. That's what I'm really excited for. So the next couple weeks, I'm going to be in the water, scoping out my spots, and figuring out where the hell I want to go for opening day. If you don't plan on getting in so soon, though, we're only a month and a half away from fluke season. That opens up May 4th, I believe, and here's a bit of news for you if you didn't hear. Outside of the Delaware Water Gap and the Island Beach State Park, New Jersey voted to eliminate the slot size. So now we get three fish at 18 inches or above. That's a pretty good size fish, but let me tell you, if you know where you're looking, there are some monsters, and I passed on so many last year because I limited out too early. I know we all have that itch, and it's so freaking annoying right now, but let's put some Preparation H on our finger, shove it up our ass, and man it out. That escalated quickly. I broke myself. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. The light's at the end of the tunnel, season's within reach, and we're going to be in the water before we know it. Now, with that time frame getting tighter, I had somebody reach out and ask if we could do an episode on finding a dive buddy. So I'd like to give a listener shout out to Jay Zimmerman for recommending the topic. Jay reached out to me and we spoke. He's a very nice kid. He's been diving since 2021, so he doesn't have a massive network built up yet, but he has had opportunities to get out on some oil rigs and shoot some really great fish. So he has some chops. The tough thing, though, he's in Pennsylvania. How do you find people when you're hours away from the ocean? I mean, he's in a space, even though it doesn't seem that far to us, there's people who've never seen the ocean, and that's mind-blowing enough. So Jay, thank you once again, and let's see if we can give you some insight on finding a dive buddy. Kids, sit down and shut up, and maybe I could teach you something today. Last episode, my concept of the proverbial whiteboard worked out pretty well, so I'm going to roll it out for this episode. Let's take our marker, and I like my marker like I like my women, Puerto Rican. Sorry, that's low-hanging fruit. That's an old joke. Probably incorrect and get me canceled now, but we'll take our marker, and at the top of the board, we're going to write, finding a dive buddy, and underline it. Shh, bam. Now I want to divide this board into three columns, so draw two vertical lines. In the first column to the left, I want us to write define. In the center column, let's write where, and in the third column, write down choosing. But don't you worry, I'm going to walk us through this, it's going to make sense by the end. Let's start with the first column, define. To quote the Joker, I'm like a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do if I caught one. And that's the mindset that we have to avoid. See, the point being, we have to define something before we go out looking for it, otherwise we won't be able to find it. So I want us to start off with defining the ideal dive buddy. This is tough because it's very personal, it's user preference. I'm going to give you almost a baseline. Now to start this off, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but safety, safety, safety. Spearfishing is dangerous. I cannot reiterate this enough. It's not competitive chess. You have a very good chance of dying here. You want to limit that. So when you're looking for the ideal dive buddy, you want somebody who's safety oriented. This is someone who understands the basics of safety and exemplifies these practices in and out of the water. For example, are they going to aim a loaded gun at you? I've had it happen. I've had spears go past me. It's scary. That's not the ideal candidate. No, no, no. See, what we're looking for are people that practice one up and one down. Those who are going to actively watch you while you're on your dive. People who have an understanding of water rescue and what to do if you black out. That's what we're looking for. Next up, this goes hand in hand with safety. We'll call it an offshoot. It's somebody that's helpful. PADI, the scuba organization, they define this as a quote-unquote second hand. The way I apply this to spearfishing, think of it like this. You have somebody that's actively watching you, not just peering over, but they're actively watching you as you dive. If you need a knife, for some reason, they have a knife for you. If you need help handling a fish, they're there. If you're caught up in something, they're there. That's the type of helpfulness we're thinking of. Next up, and this is a big one, matching your game. And what I mean here is, does your buddy's skill level represent the type of dive that you want? It always benefits working with somebody above us and even below us, but that's in respect to your capabilities as well. If I meet somebody and all they do is dive 90 feet, well, that could be cool, but if I can only hit 15, that's a problem. Pushing ourselves is a great thing, and Dive Buddy is good for that, but it has to be within our capabilities. Next up, you want a Dive Buddy with access. Do they have a boat? Do they have numbers for wrecks? Do they have gear they're willing to let you use if there's something you don't have that you need? Now, this seems very materialistic, but when I polled all my Dive Buddies, this was one of the top topics for them. For me, this isn't superficial or trying to take advantage of anybody. It's giving yourself opportunities you wouldn't normally have. Otherwise, you'd just be going on the same old solo dives that you're used to. Okay, next up, this is hands down the most important feature of the ideal Dive Buddy, and that is a great ass. Listen to me. If I have to stare at it going down 50 frickin' times, it better be nice. Yeah, I'm looking at you, little John. You better bring out that bikini again. No. Seriously. Okay. The most important trait the ideal Dive Buddy can have are matching morals. I'm talking about somebody that shares the same views on harvesting fish that you do. Do they shoot shorts or do they respect authority? Do they value the same opinions on spot ownership and whatnot? Do they interact with the public in the same way? If somebody's with you, they're also a representation of yourself. A Dive Buddy with matching morals is going to help you have the best spearfishing trip you can, whatever that may look like, and however many shorts you both agree to keep. You know who you are. Okay, I gave you a basic layout of the ideal Dive Buddy, but let's move to the center of our board to where. Where are we going to find these people? Now, I mentioned this many times on the podcast before, but when I first started spearfishing, like 11, 12 years ago, so 2011, 2012, ironically, that's a time frame. But yeah, there weren't really many resources if you wanted to link up with Spearos back then. There was spearboard.com. A lot of that was out of the country, you know, New Zealand, Australia, Mediterranean, then the other coast, the West Coast. As for Jersey, there was only ever a couple posts that I really remember there. Stuff like, oh, did you hit the Shrewsbury Rocks? Stuff like that. It was tough back then. It was a double-edged sword. We had a lot of jetties. It was very nice dive spots, but if you saw people out there and you wanted to link up with those Spearos, that, especially being a noob, that was a no-go. You know, you were a kook and that was it. But to play devil's advocate, and I've mentioned this in other episodes, but it's a dangerous sport. There's only so much life on the jetty. It's clicky. Spearfishing is very freaking clicky. I was fortunate enough to start this sport with a buddy. You go back to episode one, we talk about Nugget. He's a great guy. If it wasn't for him, I would have never gotten in the water and done this. And honestly, he would have never either. So we did this for the first couple of seasons, and it was great. He then transferred schools. I was still studying locally. I was commuting, but I was living locally, so I still continued to do this. Hell, most of my time diving, I've been a solo diver. It's not safe, and it doesn't help you push your limits, but it's a reality, and it happens. Actually, it was only a few years ago that a friend of a friend saw a video of me on Instagram. I was diving early in the season, shitty conditions, on the same day in a little known spot that he was at. And he was like, Tom, I didn't know you were like serious and really did this. And I'm like, I try. So we linked up and we had an amazing first day fishing. I mean, it was, oh God, I think there was a couple dozen trigger fish brought in that day. It was beautiful. And it's been love ever since. You can actually find him. Kevin is a hell of a diver. I mentioned it before. Hell, let's give him a shout out. He recently opened up FK Supply Co. It's a diving supply company online. Go give him a follow on the Instagram. Go buy some stuff. He's slowly building inventory, but great guy. Okay, enough of a tangent. Least to say, dive buddies in New Jersey when I started out were scarce. But now it's a different story. We have a lot more access. So, where do we go? So, number one, this is a no-brainer, the dive shop. Listen, if my guitarist is on his period and I'm looking for a new one, I go down to the guitar shop. So, if I need a dive buddy, I'm going to go to the dive shop. Seriously, go Google a couple local places on your day off, grab a couple of dollars, hop in your car, drive down, buy some of the shit that you go through every year. You know, get some booties, get a little $15 snorkel, and spitz with the owner. You get something, they'll love you. Trust me. These guys, they're the front lines. They're the generals. They know who's coming in, what people are buying. They know us divers better than we know ourselves. They have the best insight on the local groups and all the inside knowledge. They could also help pair you maybe with people your skill level and point you in the right direction. Honestly, it's not even just about going and talking shop with the owner. You're going to see other Spiros there, guys buying guns and gear just for the same reason you are. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone there. Now, full disclosure, when I go to the dive shop, I just talk my head off. I love BSing with people. But there's been so many times I go there and guys are like, hey, we're diving over here. Why don't you come with us? And you hop in and you do. But the dive shop, definitely a place to start. Okay. What if you're like our buddy from Pennsylvania and your nearest dive shop is over 8 hours away, though? Well, this next one on the list, it's a blessing and a curse, but social media. As I said earlier, many years ago, forums were the way to go, but navigating and keeping up with the threads, it was nonsense. Instagram and Facebook, they changed the game. They literally took networking, shoved some cocaine up its nose and Red Bull down its throat and said, we're going out on the town tonight. The access that we have is unrivaled. We can hop on any of these sites, type in your town spearfishing, and 50 things will pop up. Whether you could be part of the club is a different story, but the availability is there, which is great if we're trying to find a dive buddy. But with availability comes saturation, and oversaturation requires dilution. Say that 5 times fast. The point I'm getting at, people, you have to weed out the bullshit. Listen, I got to circle back to safety mind, and I got to tell you, there are fucking cowboys out there. They fire at the hip, and they fire a lot until they hit something. Even though we're looking for somebody to get in the water with, we're also looking for somebody to get out of the water with. Hell, if you treat them right, maybe you can go home with them too. But seriously, we have to be careful when it comes to finding people on social media. Listen, please do not hear what I'm not saying. To be very, very clear, I want people to enjoy the sport. I don't care if you're level 1 or 99. I don't think this should be restricted to the privileged. But the sword I will die on is that you have to do it the right way. You have to do it safe. So if you're going to use social media, you're going to hop on Facebook or Instagram to find a spearfishing buddy, somebody that's going to be in the water with you with a firearm, it's your responsibility yourself to weed out the crap and pick somebody that's not only going to get you the best bluefish, but is going to get your ass home to your mother. Okay, last up in our where to go column, short and sweet. Now, it may not be ideal if you're 8 hours away, but go for a dive. I mean, head on down to the places that you want to dive or that you do dive, places you're comfortable with, jetties and whatnot, and hop in the water. If you see somebody, you know, say hi, and when you get out, chat them up. Even if you don't want to go in the water, just cruise down to your spots if you have some. See if there's a flag there. If there's cars with spearfishing decals on them, you know, it may pay to hang out, see what's going on, and talk to some guys afterwards. Now, don't stalk. That's bad. You can ask my ex-girlfriend. But assuming that you've actively been diving, if you could find other Spiros at spots that you frequent, you know, places that you're comfortable diving, that's a great way to get you in a ballpark to match you up with somebody your skill level. If I'm not a blue water guy, I don't want to go finding blue water people. You know, I want to find somebody that's going to dive what I do. It's a great way to link up with people that are interested in the same type of diving as you. That doesn't mean it can't lead to bigger, better things, but it's a great starting point. Okay, my little grungy Spiro, you guys have been doing so well. I'm so proud of you. Let's take a look at our proverbial whiteboard. In our first column, we spoke about what? We defined the ideal dive buddy. In our second column, we just spoke about where to find the ideal dive buddy. Now, let's move over to our third and final column, choosing the ideal dive buddy. Now, listen, I may be able to pick what's for dinner. I could possibly pick your nose. I don't know. My finger's pretty big, but I cannot pick the perfect dive partner for you. What I can do is give you some food for thought. I can give you some points just to consider for when you choose to do so. Okay, first off, although it plays a factor in choosing a partner, I'm not going to beat you over the head with safety anymore. We've kind of killed that horse already. And I'm not going to go over etiquette. We have a whole nother episode on that with interacting with Spiros. Go listen to that if you haven't. I want to kind of take this in another direction. Let's look at our whiteboard and try to envision a clock face, you know, 1 through 12, not an analog one that your kids use. At 12 o'clock, we have location. At 4 o'clock, we have type. And at 8 o'clock, we have skill. Aside from safety, of course, in my opinion, these three factors are the biggest considerations when choosing a dive buddy. Starting with location, I don't mean the specifics. I'm not talking about the jetty at the end of Brighton Avenue. Ooh, spot burn. No, there is no jetty at the end of Brighton Avenue. Or is there? But no. I kind of mean the generalization. Are we in the Northeast? Are we in New Jersey? Are we in California or New Zealand? You know, that. Moving to type, what is the type of diving you are going to do at the location? Am I going to shore dive? Am I going to go under a bridge or whatnot? Finally, skill. What is the skill required of the type of diving that I'm going to do? See, each one of these items directly influences the flow of the other. Location influences the type of dive. The type of dive determines the skill, and the skill allows for your location. This can work counterclockwise as well. Our location can limit our skill. Our skill can dictate our type of dive, and our type of dive can determine our location. So now you're probably saying to yourselves, okay, Big Tom, but how does this apply to me finding a dive buddy? Well, think of the conceptual dive clock as a gauge for ourselves and our prospective dive buddy. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what this may look like. So I live out in Hawaii. I typically shore dive, but because they're volcanic islands, they're deep and steep. So we're in like 60 feet of water minimum, and I don't know, you need like a 2.5 minute breath hold to get anything done. So now Joe Schmo from New Jersey is vacationing in Honolulu, and he's in the forums looking for a dive buddy, and he hits me up. Says, hey, you know, I'm typically a jetty diver. It's 15 feet of water and, you know, you get away with a 40-second breath hold, and that's what I'm used to. Now, if we take these two clocks and put them side by side, we can definitely see the dissonance. This, of course, is a hypothetical extreme situation, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. There's always something that we can take away, always something that we can learn with diving from people above and below us, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. Ultimately, we want to limit discomfort and danger, and we want to maximize fun and success. This is going to give us the best dive we can possible. So when we take the concept of the dive clock and apply it to finding a dive buddy, it's going to keep us within our realm. It's guiding us to the proper field. If I'm a soccer player, I don't want to go to the tennis court. If you want to go blue water diving, you want guys that are capable, skilled, and comfortable being in the middle of the ocean. If we're in New Jersey in 6 feet of visibility, guys from New Zealand who have nothing less than 15 meters every day may not jive. That's where we're trying to get at. We want to be with people that are going to jive with the dive. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to jive with the dive. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Big Tom. This is the Grunge Spiro. I hope you find a dive buddy.
Thank you for listening to the Grunge Spiro. You can find us on the internet, on all social platforms, at the Grunge Spiro, wherever you get your podcasts.